Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sox Machine. Machine.
James Fegan, White Sox reporter for SoxMachine.com.
I can anticipate this question is probably way too early.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
Yes, James.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendricks?
If I'd known that, I didn't know that. Let's check the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We want Machine.
Sox Machine.
Tonight, the Crosstown Series resumes on the South Side as the Cubs and Sox get it on. Pre-game coverage starts at 6:35. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer will be on the call for first pitch at 7:10 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Here to try to explain what the White Sox are doing is James Fegan. He is on Twitter at JR Fegan, and with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. All right, James, we saw what happened, then we heard what happened. What I want to ask you is, why did so much of this seem to propagate from a news perspective? They put out the original release about Pedro, and then it was, I think James disappeared. I think the Cylons.
He just texted me that his internet dropped. So
oh, we'll no.
Oh, the Cylons got him.
I think the White Sox don't want him to answer your what I think is a really interesting question.
They sent somebody to James' house to cut the cords outside.
I think they did. They got some sitting outside with like the hard hat.
We won't have any of this Sox Machine happening.
Nope. They have pulled the plug.
On the machine.
On the Sox Machine. If the machine doesn't work, what happens? Is there a backup generator on the Sox Machine? It just seemed very strange to me. It's like, Pedro has been let go. What about other people? Give us a few minutes here.
Give us a couple of hours.
Yeah, wait.
That guy's fired. That guy's fired. And that guy's fired.
And this other guy's fired.
Yeah. A texter asks, hey, guys, how many more Sox segments you doing today? This will be the last
this
one.
Is it?
For a while.
Good question. But we figure that this is...
For a while. Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. Believe me.
We're going to get the baseball information, and then we're going to...
Get it up out of here.
Get it up out of here.
Get it upstairs, and get it up
out
of here.
There's a lot of football for us to discuss.
Uh-huh.
We've already, you know, we've been talking White Sox contingency like as a show since May.
Believe me, I totally get what you're talking about in that regard. We understand
We understand.
More than you know, we understand.
Trust.
So James Fegan is here. James, hi.
What a metaphor for the season.
Right? Perfect. So why did the order of events happen yesterday the way it did, where you announced Pedro's firing, and then we find out through various reports, oh, this person's also fired. Oh, so is this person. Like, why didn't they wait and then do a full release and a full accounting of what they were actually doing?
Yeah,
pretty hard to sit in on manager firing for more than like 2 minutes. It's like one of the questions to Getz yesterday was like, did he tell the players yet? And like, you really can't. You can't have that sort of thing hold it under wraps very long. I think you want to make the gap between firing the manager and notifying and not having it something be leaked out as small as possible. And thus the window between, oh yeah, we fired some assistants as well, has a bit of a gap. I think it was more smooth than 2020 when Rick Renneria got fired and we're 10 minutes into the Zoom and Rick Hahn said, oh, by the way, Don Cooper is gone after 20 years in the organization, or I think more than that. So, yeah, it's disjointed, but you really can't, like, hold the manager is gone for, like, potentially 2 hours as you're getting all your ducks in a row. I think that'd be a chaotic situation.
Why do you think they felt now was the time to fire Pedro?
I mean, that would be a Jerry question. I think, the front office is probably ready for that for a while. I mean, Getz even said on record that there was something being discussed for weeks, if not months. And I think if he's openly allowing months, it's probably means it was fairly safely in that territory. Certainly, yeah. My impression from talking to people is that the assistant chairman of realizing that this wasn't the guy that they wanted to keep going with was something that was very early decided and was alluded to in saying that there were fundamental disconnects between him and Grifol, once he started working with them on an everyday basis. I think this just was a lot of, it's weird because like there's multiple breaking points that would have any other organization, I think, would have fired him. 3-22 start, a franchise record losing streak. Just the way they were playing into the All-Star break and that, providing a clean break, a new record breaking losing streak. But the combination of getting free of having to talk about that, but also, an off day and a chance to make a clean break out before a new homestand, I guess was the, super perfect storm where I think in the movie, it's like three storms blending together, whereas this is more like six or seven, but it finally got, Jerry to the point where this was something he was found palatable.
Why Grady Sizemore for the rest of this to limp to the finish, and why rule him out as a managerial prospect afterward?
I mean, Sizemore as opposed to one of like Grifol's like top lieutenants, or in the case of like Tozar and Eddie Rodriguez, people he's been working with for decades across multiple organizations, or Charlie Montoya, someone who's brought in by the previous front office and kind of an arranged marriage. I get that in terms of somebody they're kind of more lockstep with. Grady Sizemore's super tight with Josh Barfield, who kind of got him into coaching. I understand that they view that as maybe a less weird lame duck or arranged marriage status the rest of the season, even though it's not the level of experience that you typically associate with managers. I guess there's more clarity, and in terms of like Getz really wanting to stake out as a tent and wanting to run a manager search and having his own list of candidates that he already had in mind, I think basically what we've seen over the last couple of years of White Sox employee decisions is if you provide ownership the option to stand pat and not do a search and just keep the guy in house already, that might be what they lean to. And so if you have a real mind to hire someone from outside the organization, someone who's currently working and not someone who you're going to coax out of retirement, staking out those terms as early and as definitively as possible increases your probability of realizing that. But as we well know, it would not guarantee that of happening.
How, if everything were to go really well, would you imagine that the White Sox could dig themselves out of where they're at organizationally?
To what degree? I think to be a team, that they talk about in terms of like, we want to compete in the AL Central again, or just simply not in a permanent down cycle. Sure. To kind of fulfill the promise of the rebuild in 2017, where they're going to be waves and waves of talent and perennial contenders and multiple championships, I don't see how they become one of those elite heavy hitter organizations. And frankly, kind of asking what them at the time back in 2019, like, what do you think your competitive advantage over teams like the Dodgers, which are where you're going to compete with if you're saying you're going to do multiple championship runs? I don't know if they had a vision for that at the time. So how do they get back to that point? I don't know. I think that they have to become a fundamentally different organization some standpoint where they have a higher budget, whether that's, you know, revenue from a new stadium or just a different owner, I think is the kind of point we're winding to eventually. That's probably what needs to some sort of larger systemic change, certainly something far bigger than a managerial change is what we're talking about when we're saying, like, can they be compete with the Dodgers and Braves and Yankees and Red Sox on a regular basis? Yeah, that seems like not something that can be achieved by just Skip Shoemaker. But as far as like getting back to a team that's like not the dregs of, a bad division, certainly having a better year than most this year, I think that can become with like, you know, just building up a large prospect base and having communication between the manager and the general manager that makes sense. Achievable, but not what anyone was dreaming of or what was sold back in 2016, 2017.
I've let that dream go because I think that, you know, the architects of it are even gone. So it doesn't make sense to hold them to that vision. But
I think it's still a good idea for a team to think that we should be one of the dominant teams in the league.
I agree.
Yes. Yes.
I agree too. With that. But that's why I'm wondering how long does something like this, because this, it seems to me, James, and you would know better, that this is something that doesn't change without there being a huge expenditure of money for major league talent. And there's been, with this current ownership group, there really hasn't been a time when they did that. So if you're going to try and do it from a trade and minor league point of view, that feels like it's going to take a really long time to do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, when does the money come is kind of the question. And, they're mid-level teams, and certainly this team has gotten up to, like, 190 in payroll in the past. If you support that with, like, a really great, like, homegrown core, like, that's, you know, viable for making the playoffs or, you know, making a run of some kind. But when would this core be ready? Certainly in the Cease trade talks, it seemed like they were targeting a lot of people double A or higher, and that was like the bulk of that return that made you think that they're eyeing something more in like the 2-year window. But that was really hard to get kind of the positional talent that they wanted that ready. Teams weren't really pry that. So you saw this deadline, which I think was underwhelming as a whole, a lot more A ball guys. And, you know, I'm watched, you know, talk to people about him and read reports. I like Haral Perez, but that guy's in low A and he's 19 years old. So I think even if you centered everything around like Colson Montgomery and Edgar Caro and Brian Ramos, those are guys who will probably debut, you know, if one of them cracks through like this season, that would be crazy, but probably debut next season would be their rookie years. And then it's 1 or 2 years before you really think like they're really hitting their stride and peak. And if that's, you know, how long it takes to really get your core up and running, then we're talking about like this team maybe not being super relevant until like 2027. At least in terms of like a national scale or talking about winning a division. So yeah, without money, and I think at the very least a reasonable expectation is that the homegrown core would be the forefront and the money is kind of supplementing it. It seems like it could be 3 years away in terms of really talking about this team. Like what can they assert themselves on the national stage and be a heavy hitter in the playoffs.
So who wants the managerial job then? With everything you just said, I am staying so far away from this. You have to be the youngest, hungriest, or the oldest, most desperate to even want a second meeting if they're not going to pay a premium. Like, why should I have this aggravation? Why do I want to run your baseball team? And if you say, look, there's a number on this piece of paper that says why, then we're talking. But other than that, like a buy-in or a fit or a true believer in this, that's why it's going to be somebody who has to be another one of these insular hires, because anybody else from the outside is going to look at this and be like, yeah, no, thank you.
I mean, I thought it was telling that Chris Getz like referenced Stephen Vogt because not because they're going to, you know, poach away Stephen Vogt, but, you know, that's new to managing, you know, not necessarily going to get this opportunity at a legacy organization without maybe more time in the coaching ranks. Someone who's not going to command like a 5-year deal the way, you know, as ESPN Jesse Rogers, you know, I think adeptly asking if that's something that if they would go beyond their traditional 3-year offer to really make a bid that contends for like the top managers in the game. That sort of mold of like, let's find an up and coming managerial prospect and hope we like, you know, hit blackjack on it, I think would be something more in their range. But it's funny, I've criticized this organization for kind of the way they spend. They can only shop top of the market at like these lower cost positions. Like we can get a really expensive closer because that basically costs like the price of an average right fielder. Manager is one of the spots where spending at the top of the scale is cheaper than trying to like, you know, sign Juan Soto. So you think like the White Sox are usually advantageous, like, well, we're going to go above market for Cuban amateurs in the market because that, you know, doesn't cost as much as like, you know, spending top in free agency. You can spend top in managers and not, you know, what you spend $40 million, which is like, you know, kind of a number four starter on the free agency market. It's a cheaper way to, it's cheaper to get a, like a top flight manager. It costs about as much as like signing Michael Wacha in free agency. So you'd think it'd be something that they could put up their sleeve, but I would especially, you know, I think more try to find a top prospect who's excited to get his first opportunity and the managing gigs, which, you know, you'd think would be maybe Grady Sizemore, but they've kind of already eliminated him to more of the let's target a top bench coach in another organization, or let's try to get, you know, Skip Schumacher as he's, you know, becoming kind of flukily available.
It sounds like to me that you're going to see the manager change dugouts tonight. You know, Craig Counsell to the White Sox confirmed. Thanks, James. We appreciate you breaking it down for us.
I guess like the previous thing I staked my reputation on my own podcast is that Chris Flexen is a primetime performer. So maybe this is like less out of the box than that, but still, please put in the newspaper that I was mostly kidding.
We will. Dan, you know anyone at the newspaper?
No, I think that was a drill tweet reference. That's awesome. That's outstanding. Please don't put in the newspaper that I'm mad. Thanks to James Fegan, as always, for his breakdown of the impossible. Somebody that he has been, for whatever reason, he's had a unique ability to help understand and interpret such things. Let's get back to the Bears. And
yes, for God's sakes.
Yes, and Shane Waldron is talking about what they can do to develop Caleb Williams in this situation with a banged-up offensive line, because it ain't going to be easy. And it's something, unfortunately, that they already have to start trying to do. So we'll hear from him next on Bernstein and Holmes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
On a happy, sunny Friday on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Odyssey Station.
He came back. We had him back in there, right? It was individual, and that was some reps, and then he felt it again, you know? So he's dealing with some soft tissue stuff, and so we had to bring him back down and take him out. So, again, we'll start that process over, and we'll see where it goes.
I don't think we see Patrick. I'm sorry, do you see this more like a week-to-week deal now instead of day-to-day, or what's kind of the track?
Really? Yeah, I think it's listed week-to-week. You know, we'll see where it goes, but, again, we're always checking it up on him day-to-day.
That's as close as you're going to get to hearing an angry or disappointed Matt Eberflus, which is not something he usually does comfortably in front of a microphone, but his dissatisfaction comes through loud and clear in that answer.
Yeah, they were expecting him to be kind of an anchor of this line.
So now he's not there, and now they're already shifting people around. And Ryan Bates, who was supposed to be competing as a starting center, is now your starting right guard, but he's also injured now. And now you might have undrafted guys who are getting into this rotation for if we're projecting out to real games. Now, it's early. Things could end up being fine. But what matters now is how it affects the development and deployment of a rookie quarterback. So Caleb Williams is going to be out there. And he's going to be protected by a makeshift group. Here's offensive coordinator Shane Waldron beginning to explain how this affects the evaluation process as everybody's moving around in front of Caleb.
As the O-line has some different moving parts right now, as we try out different combinations, work with different things, that I think in the long run will help us for the full season when you get that depth built up right there. And then for Caleb, that allows him to take leadership roles with different guys that are in there, work on his communication with different groups, different centers, different guards that have rotated in, tackles. And so I think all that does is help us as a team build our communication, whether it's player to player, with the quarterback to the O-line, or vice versa with the O-line to the quarterback. And we know that's going to be so important as the season goes, especially when it comes to the protections and the idea of everything that we do and how we want to attack a defense. So it's been great for us, and it'll be great down the road in the season.
Basically what you're saying is, regardless if it's the prototypical line with everyone healthy or with moving out, it's both a learning experience for Caleb.
Yeah, I think it helps with his communication, lets him learn different guys, his players that are around him, what the different styles are, and how to communicate with those guys, inevitably in a game, knowing that, hey, there might be different players that play throughout the season.
With that O-line in a little bit of flux, is there any concern playing him behind it in Saturday's game?
I think we got a good depth. I think Simo and Haas have done such a good job of moving those guys around, building that depth. We got frontline players that can play at a starter level. We got guys that are playing with that second group and some of the guys rotating in a third group that can all operate at a high level, and the trust is there. And I think we can operate, as an offense, depending on how we mix and match different guys when we get to that point, talking about tomorrow what the preseason is going to look like.
We didn't see many big connections today by the offense. I mean, just from my amateur eyes, it didn't look like a good day for the offense. What did you see from the offense today?
Yeah, I saw DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Travis Homer. I can go through a group of those explosive plays. And so feeling good about those, knowing that, hey, some of the shots down the field, didn't connect on some of those. But the thing we love and shows up in the Hall of Fame game, when you talk about different points in training camp and guys that get the ball in their hand and run after catchability. And to me, those are the things that really come to life as an offense grows in the games, in practice, not getting frustrated if we don't connect on a deep shot, knowing, hey, we've stretched the defense vertically right there, but then we can come back and play efficient football, connect drives together, and then get the ball in our playmakers' hands.
How close is Caleb on those deep? Because we saw all the deep shots, but is he close?
Yeah, I think, and like every one of those that happen, it takes all 11. So, sometimes you can be a little bit cleaner in a protection look. Sometimes we might be a little bit cleaner in a route look. Sometimes it might be the quarterback being a little bit cleaner with his feet. So, every one of those plays are individual when it comes down to, the why of a play not connecting perfectly. And so for us as an offense right now, that's where we're striving to get, all 11 every single time we get to one of those, deeper shot plays and giving us a chance. And then like Caleb did today, Tyson did a great job of it today. If the defense puts a umbrella over the coverage structure right there, finding a check down, finding a completion, and staying efficient.
Okay.
Would you like to know more about Shane Waldron?
Yes.
Sharp Football put out their fantasy preview for Kit for the Bears. Raymond Summerlin is the one who wrote it.
And you know what? Based on everything with PFF melting down, Sharp Football and others are going to find that there's a market vacuum because...
Well, you need to whiteboard that because you're continuing a conversation that we had that we didn't have with the listener.
Yeah, PFF's in trouble. There's a massive brain drain going on at Pro Football Focus, and our people you've heard on this show
last week.
Yeah, Munson and Spielberger and all these guys. Everybody's leaving because there is apparently a rift between the management of PFF and the people who actually do the work and know the stuff. And as a publication, it's in trouble.
So keep that in mind. Sharp Football is still out here, though. And this is what they wrote about the Bears. As part of the Sharp Football draft kit, Raymond Summerlin is posting a fantasy football preview for all 32 teams. This preview includes advanced stats, the fantasy football outlook for Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift, and every other notable Bear, as well as in-depth analysis of the coaching staff, passing game, and rushing attack. Here are some notes from inside of this. Justin Fields faced a pressure rate of 48.8% last season. Tyson Bagent only saw pressure at 33.3% of his dropbacks, a number that would have ranked ninth among NFL teams. DeAndre Swift is coming off a good season overall with the Eagles, but he created fewer big plays than his days with the Lions and was well below his career rates in targets per route and yards per target. Last year, the Bears ranked 31st when targeting running backs in both yards per attempt and success rate. So a return to form for Swift in the passing game would represent a massive improvement. Then he goes through some of the statistics, lists the Bears coaching staff, talks a little bit about Shane Waldron. There were big changes to the offense this offseason, including the addition of Shane Waldron as offensive coordinator. Waldron spent 3 years as the coordinator in Seattle, taking the standard path of Pete Carroll OCs during his later years with the Seahawks. Waldron started conservatively with a 48.3 neutral pass rate in 2021, bumped that up to 59.2%, fifth in the league, while helping Geno Smith to his best season in 2022, and then was reined back in by Carroll with a 55.6% rate last season. Given he comes from the Sean McVay coaching tree, expecting him to be in that 55% range for neutral pass rate makes sense, which would be a big departure for the Bears. Over the last 3 years, the Bears ranked second to last with a 46.7% neutral pass rate. The other big change comes at quarterback, where number one overall pick Caleb Williams will take over for now traded Justin Fields. Perhaps Waldron is a little more conservative with a rookie at quarterback, but projecting more dropbacks for the offense overall is a no-brainer.
Okay. Cool. I'm open to anything if the brief little preview that we got in that one non-game practice game of receivers going down the field.
Yes, vertical. The hope is that there is a vertical pass game.
I also think that depending on the way the run game works, we're so used to outside zone and how that looks, that if there is more ISO, more duo, more power actions, I'm down for it. I have no problem with it, for all of the horizontal stuff that we've seen.
And maybe they feel like they have a better pass-catching running back, too. Maybe they can capture some of the stuff that DeAndre Swift was doing with the Lions. It's not to take a shot at Khalil Herbert, but...
But he's not been a good pass catcher.
And that was the scouting report on him coming out of college. That he wasn't going to be able to help you, even though he's got tremendous wheels, you know, at least in the passing game. So I'm interested. I continue to be interested to see how all of this works together. And I actually think that the passing numbers will be closer to what Waldron did because they think Williams is a better passer than Fields.
If Williams is healthy, do you think he gets the 4,000 passing yards?
I think 4,000 is a really big number.
I do too. It should. It's not for other teams, and I know this just
other teams too. But I mean, specifically for the Bears, if the number is 34.50 and a half, I think if he goes over that, you're fine. I think if he's anywhere in the territory of 30, somewhere between 33 and 3,700 yards.
Remember, there's 17 games now.
I think you're probably good.
There's 17 games now, and we're still talking about these numbers that are like, well, that's no Bears quarterback has ever done that.
I know. I know. I don't want to put, like, I remember when Justin said it last year that I thought it was ridiculous. Like, that's ridiculous to think that you're going to throw 4,000 yards. Caleb hasn't said any of this stuff.
No, but he says he wants to rewrite the history books.
And I think that he will eventually do that, even if he's just okay.
I just hate the way he phrased it. Because rewriting the history books means changing something that already happened. Entering the history books, because of your performance, reestablishing the records is different than rewriting history.
Okay.
Because that gets a little scary.
Sure. But I understand what he meant, and so did everyone else.
I understand it. I just don't like the way that we presume, because the idea of rewriting history is terrifying.
Yeah, there are plenty of people who want to rewrite history.
Yes.
That's not what Caleb's talking about, though.
Like talking about how big a crowd MLK had.
Right. He's not doing that.
What is that?
But I think 3,300 to 3,700 yards. And maybe we need to stop looking at the... I kind of hate when we reduce quarterbacks down to yards. I'm more concerned about the interception rate and his fumble rate. Like, those are the two numbers that I'm looking at for Caleb this season. Not even really touchdown throws. If the offense is moving and you're in a position where DeAndre Swift or Khalil Herbert or Caleb himself are getting rushing touchdowns, I'm happy with it.
And so are fantasy owners.
I'm happy with it. What I don't want to see is 17 or more interceptions.
What if those 17 or more interceptions this year guaranteed his improvement down the road? It's sort of like that Peyton Manning thing that I think doesn't really apply anymore. You can't really throw interceptions anymore.
You can't?
No. Not in modern football. You used to be able to. You can throw them in practice, but they just kill you. They ruin you.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I'm looking at the turnover rate with Caleb more than the yardage thing. Like I don't know how we really got to this place of like that's a tell-all of a really good quarterback because
a lot of guys rack up yards in games they lose. And you get behind and teams go into a two deep, they go into a shell, and all that free cheese is there all game because they don't care because they're up 18 points and they're just letting you get up and down the field. So there are a lot of quarterbacks that have racked up huge yardage numbers in bad seasons.
Yeah, like, and maybe not even in a bad season, but Geno Smith had an incredible season in 2022, which is one of those things that should give you some faith in what Shane Waldron is doing. And he threw for 4,300 yards. Would anyone call Geno Smith a top even 15 quarterback?
No.
So you see how, like, we threw for 4,300 yards. And then 2 years later, there are already people talking about replacing him. Now, the crazy part is that the turnover numbers, the interception number, lower from season to season. I care more about that. That to me is empty calories sometimes.
I also think it's not going to be in the numbers. We're going to know it when we see it.
I agree.
I think we're going to know it when we see it.
And there is going to be some risk taking that I'm all right with. I know I might be on an island about that, though, Dan. I'm willing to give Caleb the same type of thing that I would give any rookie quarterback and go, the league is difficult. It might take him a while to figure it out.
Yeah, and if he's going to operate at high risk, that's okay. If he's going to be a touchdown to check down guy, it's like when they talk about teaching Andre Agassi to play tennis. Remember what his dad said? Hit it as hard as you can. We'll worry about where it goes later. When he was a little kid, all he wanted to do was to understand it. Forehand, backhand, I don't care if you're hitting it over the fence, out of the court, hit it as hard as you can, and we'll eventually get it under control.
I'm not expecting to be wowed because the history tells us that overall, there'll be individual games or like individual throws that you go, oh my God. But, oh my God, speaking of Geno Smith.
Right.
But I'm trying to look at this to operate in the most fair way to Caleb, taking the entire history of rookie quarterbacking and not just going, well, look at what CJ Stroud did.
And the entire
Caleb better just, be able to do that.
Just have the entire history of Bears quarterbacking with you too. Is that Oh my God, Aaron Donald is hitting. Oh my, what?
Oh my God.
We have High Noon coming up next. It's your last one of the week. I have a story that I think might have buried the lead. I'll let you be the judge.
I have one of our friends eating something weird. Next.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
It's High Noon time. We began by discussing the Bears and the Bills and what we expect to see tomorrow. We heard Shane Waldron describe how behind a makeshift line they'll see what they need to see from Caleb Williams. It was kind of a big word salad of stuff, but I hope that they trust their eyes and that they get enough from him. What did you say, between 40 and 60 snaps?
45 and 65 snaps is what they want for the entire preseason.
We also heard from Chris Getz in his wide-ranging but stumbling interview.
And uninspiring.
Incredibly uninspiring, where regardless of what words were said, Chris Getz continues to sound like someone who doesn't believe his own thoughts. James Fegan broke it down for us. He of Sox Machine.
Sox Machine.
That brings us here.
It's High Noon.
Dan sprung for breakfast today, and we are all appreciative. Very nice of you.
Thanks,
Dan. Because he wanted his own egg bites, and he never really allows us to buy him egg bites, so we appreciate you buying us breakfast and a drink today. Our friend Jason Benetti, he tried something else for breakfast the other day.
Before this inning gets away from us, I know you're adventurous.
Do you want me to just drink them?
If you will. Will you? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They're great. I love these. I need a robot.
These are chili lime seeds. You have to, Dan.
Now I got to explain. This is
in the air to left field. A Rosarena on the move, and he will get there to make the catch.
Dan, we're running out of time. That's two outs.
That's okay. Yeah, I want to see this next pitch. Oh, I'm going to take it. You know, this is like peer pressure.
No, it is peer pressure. It's not like
chili lime crickets.
Yeah, but what's so funny?
I think they didn't think he would eat it.
Why not? They're awesome, and they sell out every game. You have to buy like a special ticket to be entitled to your order of chili lime crickets.
Yeah.
But think about this, the visual of the whole thing to these guys in the booth with Jason Benetti. Like, they thought he was going to tentatively maybe, like, I'll try one or I'll try two. And he proceeded
to went all the way in.
The entire cup of these crickets
in his
mouth.
Yeah. I just wish he were funny.
Yeah, I don't understand any of his jokes.
I just wish he were funny and smart.
Yeah, I know. I wish he knew that baseball players wear spikes and not cleats.
Yeah.
Even though they actually do wear cleats.
It's fine.
Now, tell me if you think they buried the lead on this. This is CBS News from Apple Valley, Minnesota. A Eurasian eagle owl from the Minnesota Zoo flew away from a handler during a training session and was eaten by a tiger.
Oh.
But wait.
There's more.
The incident, outlined in an inspection report by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, happened in April of this year. The handler was training the owl for a bird show, but it failed to come back and landed in the outdoor tiger enclosure where it was eaten. Animal welfare is a top priority in all facets of zoo operations. This was a tragic incident, and the zoo has been working closely with its free flight bird training partners to review our policies and procedures, said Zach Nugent, communication and media relations manager at the Minnesota Zoo. He added that the owl that was eaten was in the beginning stages of its training. Our care and training program for all of the free flight ambassador birds in our care is based on many years of experience training free flight birds. We recognize that every animal is an individual, and as such, we build programs around their individual flight skill, experience, and general adaptability for being included in a free flight program, Nugent said. The incident report instructs the zoo to develop and maintain flight training that ensures animals are handled in a way that prevents physical trauma and harm. Okay? Now the next graph. It's the second time in 3 years that a Eurasian eagle owl died after flying away from the zoo.
Oh. Maybe they're trying to get away from your training program.
In 2021...
What, are they trying to wash these eagles out?
In 2021, another Eurasian eagle owl, Gladys, flew off a tree during a training session and was found days later on the side of the road. She was injured and the zoo's veterinary team was unable to save her. The report instructed the zoo to create a contingency plan also for animals in case of shelter-in-place emergencies. That'd be good. So the camel enclosure was in disrepair. The feed supply garbage bay was contaminated by pests. So it sounds to me like the end of Hunt for Red October. Andre, you've lost another submarine. Say, how many Eurasian eagle owls have to fly away from you from your own zookeepers? But could you imagine this eagle owl is like, wait a second, they're letting me fly away? Okay.
You want to update that reference?
I'm free. And then you land in the tiger enclosure.
They're like, oh,
damn it. And then the tiger eats it.
You can update the reference because it was referenced in Infinity War. Tony, you lost another robot. So now you can update the reference.
I think that is an homage to the previous one.
That's what
I'm
saying. Okay.
You lost another robot.
And then you lost them.
And the Eurasian Eagle Owl, that was Flacco, if you remember, the one from the Bronx Zoo that ended up in Central Park.
Hola, Central Flacco! Park Zoo.
Yeah, and Flacco's dead too. So.
Oh! I don't like that.
Yeah, rough go for the old Eurasian eagle owls.
I feel like we might need to run an investigation on what's going on over there.
Yeah, maybe stop bringing him into captivity.
Yeah.
Maybe let him be.
You should probably just let them be.
I think that's a good plan. That's High Noon. JP's here.
Yeah, he is. Just casting a shadow, everyone. He's just bigger than everyone.
Yeah, why do you gotta make it sound like he's like a looming Dr. Doom or something?
This is how linebackers get down. They just kind of walk around and you're like, oh. You ever like walk into like one of those?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not fun.
I had Doug Buffone grab me around the neck.
That was different.
No,
and
that's
your
not different.
Fault.
That's not different.
And your fault.
You're talking about linebackers.
Switch never really turns off.
That's a prototype. Ask Rich Ackerman about the Doug Buffone linebacker switch.
Yep.
That poor guy got knocked down a hall and into a brick wall.
Well, Doug would do it even in moments of joy.
Yes.
Like he'd be happy to see you and he'd
slap you on the side of the
head with a whole
open hand.
And you go flying.
Yes. It's not fun. It hurts.
Yeah. But Joshua Perry is here. He's here in studio. We're going to talk Bears, NFL, college football with him. We'll continue to ask him the question on why Ohio State fans are so weird. Yeah, I mean, he can't.
We have to fire this coach who's only lost like 3 games ever. Yeah, but he sucks. We deserve better.
He doesn't beat Michigan. Has he lost any other games? Not really.
No, but still. We want someone better.
Who do you want? I don't know.
Somebody better.
All right, we'll talk football next.
Next.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street. In front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It's high noon time. We began by discussing the Bears and the Bills and what we expect to see tomorrow. We heard Shane Waldron describe how behind a makeshift line they'll see what they need to see from Caleb Williams. It was kind of a big word salad of stuff. But I hope that they trust their eyes and that they get enough from him. What did you say, between 40 and 60 snaps?
45 and 65 snaps is what they want for the entire preseason.
We also heard from Chris Getz in his wide-ranging but stumbling interview.
And uninspiring.
Incredibly uninspiring, where regardless of what words were said, Chris Getz continues to sound like someone who doesn't believe his own thoughts. James Fegan broke it down for us. He of Sox Machine.
Sox Machine.
That brings us here.
It's time.
Dan sprung for breakfast today, and we are all appreciative. Very nice of you.
Thanks,
Dan. Because he wanted his own egg bites, and he never really allows us to buy him egg bites. So we appreciate you buying us breakfast and a drink today. Our friend Jason Benetti, He tried something else for breakfast the other day.
Before this inning gets away from us, I know you're adventurous.
You want me to just drink them?
If you will. Will you? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
They're great. I love these. I need a real
These book. Are chili lime seeds. You have to, Dan.
Now I got to explain. This is
in the air to left field. A Rosarena on the move, and he will get there to make the catch.
Dan, we're running out of time. That's two outs.
That's okay. Yeah, I want to see this next pitch. I'm going to take it. You know, this is like peer pressure.
No, it is peer pressure. It's not like
chili lime crickets.
Yeah, but what's so funny?
I think they didn't think he would eat it.
Why not? They're awesome, and they sell out every game. You have to buy, like, a special ticket to be entitled to your order of chili lime crickets.
Yeah.
But think about this, the visual of the whole thing to these guys in the booth with Jason Benetti. Like, they thought he was going to tentatively maybe, like, I'll try one or I'll try two, and he proceeded
to went
dump
all the way in
the entire cup of these crickets
in his
mouth.
Yeah. I just wish he were funny.
Yeah, I don't understand any of his jokes.
I just wish he were funny and smart.
Yeah, I know. I wish he knew that baseball players wear spikes and not cleats.
Yeah.
Even though they actually do wear cleats.
It's fine.
Now, tell me if you think they buried the lead on this. This is CBS News from Apple Valley, Minnesota. A Eurasian eagle owl from the Minnesota Zoo flew away from a handler during a training session and was eaten by a tiger.
Oh.
But wait.
There's more.
The incident, outlined in an inspection report by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, happened in April of this year. The handler was training the owl for a bird show, but it failed to come back and landed in the outdoor tiger enclosure where it was eaten. Animal welfare is a top priority in all facets of zoo operations. This was a tragic incident, and the zoo has been working closely with its free flight bird training partners to review our policies and procedures, said Zach Nugent, communication and media relations manager at the Minnesota Zoo. He added that the owl that was eaten was in the beginning stages of its training. Our care and training program for all of the free flight ambassador birds in our care is based on many years of experience training free flight birds. We recognize that every animal is an individual, and as such, we build programs around their individual flight skill, experience, and general adaptability for being included in a free flight program, Nugent said. The incident report instructs the zoo to develop and maintain flight training that ensures animals are handled in a way that prevents physical trauma and harm. Okay? Now the next graph. It's the second time in 3 years that a Eurasian eagle owl died after flying away from the zoo.
Oh. Maybe they're trying to get away from your training program.
In 2021...
Were they trying to wash these eagles out?
In 2021, another Eurasian eagle owl, Gladys, flew off a tree during a training session and was
found
later on the side of the road. She was injured and the zoo's veterinary team was unable to save her. The report instructed the zoo to create a contingency plan also for animals in case of shelter-in-place emergencies. That'd be good. So the camel enclosure was in disrepair. The feed supply garbage bay was contaminated by pests. So it sounds to me like the end of Hunt for Red October. Andre, you've lost another submarine. Say, how many Eurasian eagle owls have to fly away from you from your own zookeepers? But could you imagine this eagle owl is like, wait a second, they're letting me fly away? Okay.
You want to update that reference?
I'm free. And then you land in the tiger enclosure.
And like, oh,
damn it. And then the tiger eats it.
You can update the reference because it was referenced in Infinity War. Tony, you lost another robot. So now you can update the reference.
I think that is an homage to the previous one.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Tony, you lost another robot?
You lost another robot. And then you lost him.
And the Eurasian Eagle Owl, that was Flacco, if you remember, the one from the Bronx Zoo that ended up in Central Park.
Hola, or Central Flacco! Park Zoo.
Yeah, and Flacco's dead too. So.
Oh! I don't like that.
Yeah, rough go for the old Eurasian eagle owls.
I feel like we might need to run an investigation on what's going on over there.
Yeah, maybe stop bringing him into captivity.
Yeah.
Maybe let him be.
You should probably just let them be.
I think that's a good plan. That's High Noon. JP's here.
Yeah, he is. Just casting a shadow, everyone. He's just bigger than everyone.
Yeah, why do you gotta make it sound like he's like a looming Dr. Doom or something?
This is how linebackers get down. They just kind of walk around and you're like, oh. You ever like walk into like one of those?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not fun.
I had Doug Buffone grab me around the neck.
That was different. That's not different.
You're talking about linebackers.
Switch never really turns off.
That's a prototype. Ask Rich Ackerman about the Doug Buffone linebacker switch.
Yep.
That poor guy got knocked down a hall and into a brick wall.
Well, Doug would do it even in moments of joy.
Yes.
Like he'd be happy to see you and then...
And he'd slap you on the side of the head and with open hand.
And you go flying.
Yes. It's not fun. It hurts.
Yeah. But Joshua Perry is here. He's here in studio. We're going to talk Bears, NFL, college football with him. Bears. We'll continue to ask him the question on why Ohio State fans are so weird.
Well, I mean, he can't really answer that.
Yeah, I mean, he can't.
We have to fire this coach who's only lost like 3 games ever. Yeah, but he sucks. We deserve better.
He doesn't beat Michigan. Has he lost any other games? Not really.
No, but still. We want someone better.
Who do you want? I don't know.
Somebody better. All right, we'll talk football next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.